I'm a full pastor.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. God is good. All the time. Amen. Amen. I was really enjoying worship. How many enjoyed the worship team? Give them a hand. I was thinking when we were doing Mercy is Falling, it was so fast and kind of frenetic. It just needed a little crunchy guitar. We could have done a punk rock version of that. You know, I was just ready. Somebody, one day we're going to turn Daniel loose and let him just crank that guitar thing up. I was thinking about a band I played with a long time ago when I was a youth pastor. And when Lee broke his string, did you notice he broke a string there on one song? When Lee broke his string on his guitar, I was thinking about it. A band I used to play with. We were kind of punk, new wave, new rock. And we had a bass player that used to break strings. Yeah, whoa. If you ever see a bass guitar, you know how thick those strings are. And our bass player, about every other concert, he'd be, pow, pow, you know, and it just pow, there goes string. And we just, okay, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back in a minute. Anyway, music is good, worship is good, and I just love to worship the Lord. And I love the fact that in this house we can be in God's presence. We can focus on Him. We can hear His voice. We can listen to Him. And we can be transformed. It's not just Bible teaching out of your head and into your head that changes you, but it's heart to heart. There has to be revelation flow when the word is brought forth. We don't just want information, we want revelation, and that's what causes transformation, right? Because we're being changed from one level of glory to another, and we're growing from one level of faith to another. And so we have a challenge. In fact, one of the prophetic leaders grabbed me before we started this morning and said it was already getting a sense that the Lord is calling us to a deeper intimacy with God, to a deeper partnership, level of partnership and communion and connection with Him, and that he wanted to give access to, He wanted us to give Him access to new places in our hearts. And I just wanted to lay that out because that really fits in where we're going this morning and the word that the Lord's placed on my heart. And we have some prayer teams that are already being prepared and have been prepared to pray with you and agree with you and see junk broken off of your life, see things cleaned up at a deeper level. You know, we can always go deeper, right? Please don't feel negative or condemned if we're dealing with anything that's ugly on the inside of us that shouldn't be on the inside of us, because the Bible talks about that we're saved, that we're being saved, and we're yet to be saved. Okay, anybody realize this is a journey, and you never totally get there as you're walking through this thing, but we go from one level to another. Amen. Amen. Well, I got a little fun video. We're going to talk about blessings and cursings, and you can choose. You can choose. You can decide. And this little video is just kind of fun. Here's a guy go off in his day and decides to be a blessing. I love that video. All right. So when you're a blessing, really be a blessing. Anyway. All right. Most of my remarks, you may want to get this book by Derek Prince called Blessing or Curse. You can choose. I mean, I literally took my title, my message from this, and I'm going to give you just a synopsis. I'm not going to preach the whole book. It would take quite a while. I think he has 24 tapes on this, right? But I want to encourage you, if you want to get this book, I have some additional copies available, or you can order it at Christian Bookstore. It's by Derek Prince, and I know your pastor also highly recommends Derek Prince. And so this is very powerful insight. Let's look at the scriptures today. We're going to start off with Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. And as you're finding your Bibles, I was reminded of, I wanted to tell you a little story. And there was a pastor I knew just a couple years ago. And God was doing some incredible work in his ministry. Yet he didn't have any real covering. He didn't have any real accountability. And he seemed to be seeking that out. And I was in relationship with this man for about a year and a half, two years. And I could see the things that God was doing. And began to probe some areas where there were some questions and there were some problems and some challenges and things that seemed to be coming up time and time again. And there were some things that seemed to be coming to light. And as I probed and asked, he said, no, that's not a problem. No, that's not an issue. No, that's not a problem. And continued for another year or so from those denials until actually it became a very serious problem. And he was arrested for some things that were very unseemly. And I'm telling you that story because I want you to know, it doesn't matter what level you are, you don't need to be perfect, but you need to be growing. You don't need to have it all together, but you need to be getting it together. Amen? You need to be getting it together. And as long as you have that heart for God and that heart for holiness and that heart for Him, He will help you and keep you growing. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. So you stand legally as you stand in obedience to Christ and in fellowship with Him. You stand legally, okay, and positionally righteous before Him. But then there is the working out of that righteousness that is already placed inside of you and that you already position. There's a working out of that righteousness. And so as we pursue these things, you don't need to have it all together, but you need to be getting it together. And that's the call of God. The benefits of that are greater intimacy, greater power with God, greater partnership, greater effectiveness in every area of your life. In every area of your life. So that's my story and my challenge this morning. Let me ask you a couple questions before we get into the scripture. Some questions. Are there any areas of life where you seem to be held back again and again? It's the next slide, I believe, Brandon. Oh, that's right. I have the thing. I can do this, right? Ooh. Are there any areas of life where you seem to be held back again and again? Maybe it's a personal challenge. Maybe it's a mispromotion. Maybe business opportunities don't work out. Failed relationships. A key area of success or growth that you desire. Are there any patterns of failure or recurring challenges? Could be financial. Could be physical. Social. Relationally. Your career. Your spiritual growth. Any walls that you seem to hit time and time again. Are there any areas, and I learned this from Marilyn a couple weeks ago, are there any areas you just refuse to pray about anymore? There's a sign there. There's a blockage. God wants to break through. Are there any major or minor areas of sin that you neglect to address anymore? And I put major and minor in parentheses because I don't know if there's really major sin and minor sin with God, but you know what I mean, right? Sometimes we get little areas, and according to the prophetic word we heard this morning, that may be the challenge for most of us, because that the word was actually that there are some little areas that may be holding you back to a lot bigger things. Do you experience confusion, tiredness, weakness, fear, discouragement about any area that you're personally responsible for? Any of these kind of symptoms coming to mind, any kind of situations that you're facing challenge in, and I wouldn't be surprised if every one of us has one or two areas, at least, that God wants to put His finger on this morning. in order to break free of that curse, break free of that stronghold, break free of that area of pressure or that perceived wall or ceiling, whatever it is that's keeping you back. See, promotion comes from the Lord. God opens a door that no man can shut. God shuts doors that no man can open. God lifts one up and puts another one down. And we've heard the testimonies in this house, and I'm sure you have other places as well, as God has given people in this house promotions and favor on their job and credibility in the community and influence. And God wants to do that through His body. God wants to do that. And we're going to support that from Scripture here in these two passages in just a moment. But do you believe that? Or are we still of the mentality like they used to say about preachers, well, God, we'll keep him poor and you keep him humble. Like progress or growth or personal success. Now, that's true. Churches have that attitude. Okay, I pastored before. I know that. You know, they have an allergy to paying pastors very much money, you know. But anyway, no hard feelings. I'm not bitter. I'm not. Anyway. God wants us to grow and take over. I was kidding around. I got an email from Pastor Lane a couple weeks ago. I'm going to be away. Can you speak this Sunday? Which is very encouraging, you know. He trusts me when he's away, or I'm the last resort. I'm not sure which. And then I got an email from Tim that said he wasn't going to be here either. He said, Don, you really are on your own. I told Maria, I said, I'm taking over. But, you know, I'm just kidding around. But you know what? We're here to take over. Remember that worship song that Pete's been doing? We're here to take over. Okay, we have kingdom authority. We have the anointing from God. We have wisdom and power from God. We're here to take over. All right, you believe that? Some of you not too sure. It's okay. We'll support it here in a second. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Read it. Can you see that? Okay. Can everybody see that? All right. I like to read scripture aloud. All right. So. In fact, in Timothy, it says, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. And it also says that back in the Old Testament, to read Scripture aloud. So will you read that with me? Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. Ready? Reading. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live and your descendants by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Do you hear this challenge? Now this is in Deuteronomy when Moses is summing up the whole Exodus and he has a new generation. They're ready. They're being prepared to go into the promised land. He is recalling everything that happened from Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. He kind of summarizes the teachings and he brings them to a point. He says, I call heaven and earth to record against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now this is an open book test. Here's the right answer. Choose life. When I was in Bible college, it was amazing. We had teachers that would fill blackboards. I had teachers that would, he'd do a 45-minute session. One guy would fill blackboards with notes and go around, all the way around the room, fill the blackboard, and then he'd start erasing because he'd fill all the blackboards and he had more notes. And we had one teacher that would sit there and tell stories. And I learned from both of them. I always thought I'm very left-brained, but I can learn from the storytellers, too. I mean, the one that told stories, he had been a missionary in Papua New Guinea. He had pastored several churches and planted several churches. And I just listened to him tell stories. And I was learning from the story. And he would give a test, and he would say, okay, there's going to be 9 questions on the test. Here's the 9 questions. And here's the 9 answers that I want for those 9 questions. Okay, that was his test. Here's the 9 answers. Just memorize the answers and give them to me Tuesday when you come in for the test. And I noticed that the failure success rate was the same. It didn't matter if the guy filled 3 blackboards and kept going for 45 or told a story and reviewed at the periodically and say, here's the 9 questions, here's the 9 answers, we'd still have, you know, certain percentage of failures and D's and C's and A's. It didn't matter. I think it's all about motivation. It's not about intelligence, is it? Anyway. Choose life. Here's the right answer. Choose life. Don't choose death, people. Don't choose death. Don't choose cursing. Now, the enemy wants to curse you. He wants to curse your family relationships. He wants to curse your personal life. He wants to curse your job. He wants to curse your career. He wants to curse you physically. He wants to curse you in every area that he can curse you. And go through the Bible. There's a lot of areas he can curse you. Okay? But Jesus, in Galatians 3:13, you can write that down, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for you, because it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Did Jesus hang on a tree? Yes. He took the curse, right? He took the sins, right? He took all the punishment that you deserve and you deserve and I deserve. Christ is the righteousness of God, and He was made sin for us. Romans 5 says He was made sin for us so that we can be made the righteousness of God in Christ. He took it all. Every barrier, every boundary, every stopping point where you find you're hitting that wall again and again and again. I don't care if it's your physical healing or personal success or growth in your relationships or the intimacy that you want in your marriage. We're all growing people, and we're going to find there are places we're going to get hung up because the enemy has laid a landmine. All right? And maybe it's a little bomb that goes off in your soul. Maybe it's because the same thing happened to your parents and there's things in the generations behind you. Okay? But there's a bomb, there's a little bomb, a little time bomb that goes off in your soul and go, boom, I'm not going to put up with that. What's wrong with you? And we're accusing, we're condemning, or whatever. These things can go off, and the enemy said, ha, got that curse released in their life. But listen, Jesus took the curse for you. But you have to battle out the benefits of the blessing. You have to go to war. You know, I was reading Derek Prince again this morning. He said, you know, when Moses was taking them to the promised land and then Joshua took over, if they had been like most Christians, they would have stood on the banks of the Jordan and said, I'm blessed. Promised land, you're mine. You belong to me. You know, and the Canaanites would have laughed at them, because who's in possession? The Canaanites. What did they have to do? They had to go to war. Now, the first battle was really cool because they had a miracle, right? And they marched around the walls and the walls fell down and they just ran in and killed everybody and took the spoils. But they had other battles they had to fight. They even had a few setbacks. You know, it's okay to have some setbacks. No condemnation. All right. Failure is an event. It's not a person. You are not a failure. Failure is just an event. In fact, if you don't fail from time to time, you have never really tried. Right? Come on, say that. If I don't fail occasionally, I've never really tried. Go ahead and say that. If I don't fail occasionally, I've never really tried. In church planting, I would have fun because, not really fun, it just looked for, we all kind of have this perfectionist mentality. Not all of us, but some of us do. It's not always fun. But I had some perfectionism in me. And I heard Zig Ziglar say a long time ago that anything worth doing is worth doing poorly until you can do it well. And I would say that to a little group that God was gathering, and we're talking about planting a church, and I'd say, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. And I just watch them twitch. You know, there's the perfectionist. You know, they can't try anything unless they can do it perfectly. Listen, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing even if you do it poorly. Until you can learn to do it well, right? Of course you want to do it better and better. You want to learn. But if you're not willing to try and to learn, you'll never really grow. Okay, let me read these to you. Deuteronomy 28. This is a good summary. When Pastor Mark Berkler was here, he preached a year or so ago from Deuteronomy 28. And I'm going to read it to you. Just follow along. Well, read with me. Go ahead, read with me. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You want the blessings or cursings? Blessings. Okay. Let me just read. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They will come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command a blessing on you in your barns and all that you put your hand to, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and shall be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body and in the offspring of your beasts and the produce of your ground and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but shall not borrow. And read with me. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above and you shall not be underneath. If you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Notice the key here. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. What is one thing Pastor Landy's been teaching a lot about in healing and in the work of God? What's the word in the New Testament for the word of the Lord in the moment? The Rhema. It's also the same as the voice of God. Now, most of your Bible translation says obey the voice of the Lord your God. The New American Standard actually leaves it out and puts it in the column. That's one place where the King James has it over New American Standard, and I like the New American Standard. But if you go over in the column, the literal Hebrew says obey the voice of the Lord your God. See, you learn His words, you learn the logos, you learn the principles, you learn the general principles of God and the revelation of God through the Bible. But you hear the rhema in your heart and you obey that. When God speaks to your heart, the proper response is, yes, Lord. In fact, it's literally impossible to say no, Lord. Because if you say no, He's not your Lord, is He? Right? Okay, simple kingdom stuff. Okay, what kind of things does God desire for His people, just based on this passage? Put it in modern day terms. He wants holiness, right? And a heart of holiness is a heart after God. It's a growing heart. It's a heart that's growing closer and closer to Him and more pure, and you're laying down the things that He asks you to lay down. A successful career. Didn't it talk about that? You'd have success. This is an agricultural society. Your animals and your flocks and your farming and everything, right? So business and career success, abundance, prosperity. Didn't He say, I'm going to give you great abundance, right? I don't have time to exegete that whole passage. I'm giving you an overview, all right? Great abundance. Leadership and influence. He said, you're going to be called by my name, and the nations shall reverence you, shall be in fear of you. Now, not too many places do I see the Church of Christ, of Jesus, being the head and not the tail, and the nations saying, well, I better check with Billy Graham before I make a decision. I better check with, you know, the church. I better check with the Christian leaders, right? We're not supposed to do that because separation of church and state. Influence, fruitfulness, right? Reproductive and fruitful. And not only talks about your natural sons and daughters, but I believe that applies to spiritual sons and daughters. We should be raising up sons. And if you've been a Christian more than a few years, you need to be mentoring and coaching and sponsoring somebody else. Amen? If you've been a Christian 20 years, I want to see some sons and daughters. Okay? Victory in life, right? Your enemies that come against you one way shall flee from before your face. You know what? It struck me as I was praying about this that sometimes we just want to deny the fact that we're in conflict. We want to deny the fact that we have enemies. But you know what? If you will face your enemies or you will face your problems, God will cause them to flee from before your face. I think that's the real essence of, you know, like in Mark 11, 23 and 24, it says that if you speak to the mountain and command it to be moved, then it'll be taken up and cast into the sea. See, when we're talking about dealing with our problems, it's not just denying the problems. That's not faith. It's facing the problem, calling it what it is, and then telling it to be moved. And then begin to speak the answer. Some people think positive thinking and faith and all this stuff is all the same thing. And that these people that speak in faith are just speaking things. Well, you know, it's just they're in denial. No, denial's not just a river in Egypt. You know, denial is when we won't face our problems. Okay, I know it's a country song now, right? Denial is more than, anyway. It needed to be a country song. But God will give us victory. God will bless our family and our relationships. All that's, you can find that in that passage. Okay? What are the sources of curses in our lives? Anybody know? What are some sources? Generational? Past generational stuff? Somebody else? Stick a hand up. Anybody? Speaking more to ourselves? Exactly. Who said that? Over here? Pat, thank you. We speak them on our negative words. What else? Sin in our lives. Exactly. If there's a recurring sin that we just let go on, that can bring a curse. Maria? Generational things, right. From past, from our family. All right. And anybody else? Unnecessary pride. That's good. That's a good one. The thoughts, right. The thoughts that we allow to maintain in our minds. Negative beliefs is how I phrase it. Go ahead. Soul ties, unhealthy soul ties. So what we're doing is kind of a condensed version today of what we did in Prayers That Heal the Heart. So I'm touching on some of the high points. So those of you who took the class, you'll get to do the hard work here at the altar, and I get to do the lay the groundwork. Okay, but here's some of the things that I picked out as I was preparing. Negative beliefs, Mike, you mentioned that. Negative words spoken over us. Generational curses, that's stuff from your ancestors. Things can be passed down to the third and fourth generation. Some things the Bible talks about go many, many more generations. If you notice a pattern in your life that was the same as your dad or your granddad and it goes back, then you need to break it. It's probably a generational thing that's hanging on. But the blood of Jesus and the cross of Christ can be placed in between that curse and you and cut it off. Does that sound a little weird? Does it sound okay? Okay, it sounds a little strange to our modern ears, but it's a very biblical principle. Sinful disobedience, somebody pointed that out, that and include pride and arrogance. Trauma, this is something I hadn't thought much about until recent years, but sometimes someone that's abused, beaten up, sexual abuse, a victim of a crime, trauma seems to be able to give a place for a curse to enter in, and that needs to be broken. By the cross of Christ, by applying the power of Christ to that situation. It's not something you're personally responsible for. You were traumatized. You were the victim. All right? But it seems to rip open a place in our soul where the enemy latches on. And we want to break those things, right? Right? I want to be free. Say it with me. I want to be free. Amen. All right. Well, how do we break them? How do we break them? First of all, when you recognize and you're aware, are you aware of a few more things than you were 20 minutes ago when we started? The possibility that maybe there's some things holding me back that may be some kind of curse or some kind of thing. And anybody a little more aware or thinking those terms that wasn't thinking that when you walked in? One person. I'm doing a heck of a job. Two, three. Okay. Holy Ghost, speak to their hearts, please. All right. About a third of us. Good. Good. There are things that hold us back. Derek Prince tells some stories about Two people graduating from the same school, the same qualifications, starting on their career path. One person climbs a ladder and seems very successful. The other person seems to have the same qualifications, but has this problem and then has that, and has another setback. And has another. It's kind of uncanny that these patterns keep recurring. Blockages, restrictions, walls that we hit. God wants us just, He wants to remove it. He wants to remove it all. Because we are supposed to be the head and not the tail. We're supposed to be above and not underneath. That doesn't mean we don't submit to legal authority, you know, improper authority on our jobs, our bosses, things like that. But we have a higher authority. And sometimes our bosses, our employers, our authority figures will tell us to do something that we know is morally, ethically wrong. And we say, you know, I can't do that. We have a right of conscience to refuse. Daniel did that, right? The three Hebrew children did that. They were Jews in Babylon. And when they refused, they did it in the right heart, but God promoted them because of the integrity that they had. If you think you got to have to cheat in business to get ahead, you're wrong. That's not kingdom. If you think you have to lie occasionally to get ahead, you're wrong. It's not kingdom. I'm in sales right now. I work for a great window manufacturer. It's an excellent company, but it's not a perfect company. I had one person, fortunately, he's not over me, but he actually said, well, you know, Don, a salesman can't tell the truth all the time. I think you can. I think you can. That's kingdom, because I'm going to have more integrity. If I don't have anything else, I have my integrity. Let me give you an example. Give you a little story. My first job, see, I'm a bad example in some ways because my dad had his own business. When I was in my 20s, I did a year of college. I came home. I started my own business doing construction. So I didn't climb the corporate ladder. I just went around it from time to time. And a year or so after Maria and I got married, I took a job for a weatherization program in New Jersey where we lived. And I was a field estimator. About 6 months into it, the department head quit, and someone else was put in charge of the department. But that person had no field experience at all, zero. Didn't know, you know, anything about storm windows, insulation, you know, anything. No field experience. So they said, well, we're going to advertise for a field manager. Well, I knew the field manager was me because I had the most experience in the whole department in the construction field, so I applied for the job. At the same time, I had already negotiated to work 4 days a week. Now, this was 20 years ago, 18 years ago. You guys work compressed schedule around here and stuff. You know what that's like. I'd never heard of that. But my church said, we'd like you to come on at least part-time as youth pastor. So I said yes. And, of course, if you're on staff, you have to at least have office hours, right? Didn't matter the youth aren't there. Didn't matter that. But anyway, you come in, you're an official pastor if you have office hours, right? So that was exciting to me. I was in my early 20s. And so I had negotiated with my job to work 4 9-hour days and cover all my responsibilities in 4 days a week and work at the church 1 day a week. Well, the chance for the promotion came up. This is about being the head and not the tail, okay? The chance for the promotion came up, and I applied for it. And my department manager wanted me to have the job. He said, well, you have to see the head of the whole thing. And the head guy, this was a big human services organization, hundreds of people working for him. They did Head Start and WIC and, I mean, all the human services stuff in three counties in southern New Jersey. Okay, a couple hundred people worked for him. The boss had a Rolex and a Mercedes, and I'm not sure how you get, anyway, you know, get to live like that on government pay, but anyway. So I met in his office, and he did a little quick, well, I'd like to offer you the job. I said, well, one thing first. I said, I talked about the working 4 days a week, and I know I can cover my responsibilities that way. Well, that's not an option. I need you in here 5 days a week. Long and short of it, I said, well, then, no thanks. I think I'll turn down the job. And I watched his fist with that Rolex tighten up, and he kind of went, okay. He gave me the job. See, you got to be willing to choose. You choose blessing or cursing. You got to be willing to say no. You got to stay in charge of your life because you choose whether you respond or whether you react. The doctor says, gives you medicine. You go back in a couple of days later, maybe you're breaking out in a rash. The doctor says, hey, we got to change the prescription. You're having a reaction. Okay? Or you can respond. You come back in, you're getting better, symptoms are going away. Hey, great, your body's responding to the medication. See, we can choose. The blessing or curse, you can choose. Your success or failure, you can choose. You understand what I'm saying? The dignity of the human personality being able to choose is something that God put in you. When you sang earlier, Our Father in Heaven, did you really think about what that means? Do you have a Father in Heaven? Do you really believe that? You have a Heavenly Father? Well, then you're made of heavenly stuff. Right? I mean, you're not just a highly evolved animal, right? That has needs and desires and drives, and you know that's what evolution teaches. You're a highly evolved animal. Or do you have a Father in Heaven who has made you in His image and His likeness? That's who you are. You're a child of God. That is foundational to your identity. And for any of this to work, to get a revelation of that, I am a child of the Most High God. I'm made of heavenly DNA and not just physical DNA. I got heavenly inheritance. And see, any of the curses that are passed down can be blocked. But you do have to take that ground. Everything, we know everything stops at the cross, but the cross has to be appropriated. See? And too much in evangelical churches, we think that, okay, I'm saved, it's all done. It's not all done. There's ground to be taken, there's battles to be fought, there's wars to be won, there's achievement, there's growth, there's change, there's transformation. All right. If the cross really applied just universally, you wouldn't even have to make a decision to be saved. It'd just be whoever was predestined, or like the universalists say, well, everybody's going to be saved in the end, whichever end you want to take. But see, human choice plays into this whole thing. You have to choose. You choose Jesus to make Him your Lord, and you begin to follow Him, and then you choose Him at different steps along the way. You choose to appropriate the victory that is in the cross of Christ and apply it to your life. So that's what we're here to do this morning. Does that sound good? Appropriate more of His victory in our lives? Amen. All right. So we renounce the curse. Once you recognize it, you renounce it. You repent of any cooperation you may have had. You repent of your sin, of your cooperation. You forgive yourself and others. I noticed Christian people were good. Sometimes we can get Christian people to forgive other people, but then to forgive themselves. I heard a man who was, just last week I was at Creation Festival. There's a man, I can't think of his name right now, I mispronounce it, Michael Franchisi, something like that. He was a mafia boss. He was a captain in the mafia. And he did lots of ugly things for about 10 or 15 years. And God got a hold of his life, began to turn his life around. He was still indicted. He still went to prison. He still had a lot of stuff go on. But he said this at the festival. He said, in the church, we have two standards. We'll forgive ourselves and we'll forgive other people for certain sins. But other sins, we set it at a different level. And he was a mafia boss that made millions for the mafia, okay? And lived in million-dollar homes. And when he was indicted, he had to give it all back, you know, when he was finally convicted. He had to pay restitution. But we have two levels of sins in our minds. But you need to forgive at any level. Because God's the just judge, and He'll balance all the books out. And when you forgive, even if somebody that traumatized you, that hurt you, when you forgive and you release them, you find out that you're released. Forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. Forgiveness is a gift where you set the captive free and say, I'm not going to hold it against them anymore. And guess what? You're made free. Because the thing was chaining you down, right? It was chaining you down more than it was them. All right. Forgive yourself and others. Speak faithful words. Start to speak positive words, faithful words, get scripture verses, start to speak those things. Now, there's two levels of this. Pastor Lanny really addressed well. When you get a rhema from God, you begin to speak that out, and there's power in that to carry it out. But there is a level before that that can help you, is when you know you're dealing with a certain area, you search the scriptures, you get the promises of God, and you begin to speak those promises in your own ears, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the rhema of God. You begin to speak those promises in your own ears, and that builds faith in your own heart. And that's part of actually incubating that new vision that God wants to bring forth. You can start speaking faith over the situation before you're sure you have a rhema. You can start speaking positive, faith-filled words. I've done it. It works. I renew my mind with the Word of God. That's what I'm doing when I do it. I start speaking positive. I thank you, Lord, my job is blessed. I thank you, Lord, that everybody I call on today is going to be receptive, and you're going to give me persuasive lips and things like that the Scripture promises. So I speak positive, faith-filled words over my situation. All right? That's how you continue to keep the ground. Another thing that really helps is to receive the anointing. The anointing breaks the yokes of bondage. When someone prays for you, has an anointed word for you, has a vision, a picture, when one of the prophetic team calls something out that you think maybe it kind of fits your situation, hey, get up there. Right? Even if you're not absolutely sure, well, I'm not sure if they're talking about me. Look, you know, they said God's healing headaches. Do you have a headache? Come up and get prayed for. It wouldn't hurt. Right? I'm oversimplifying, but you understand, right? Why do we sit there, well, I wonder if it's my headache, or, you know, I only have half a headache, so they didn't say half a headache, you know. You know what I'm saying? We nitpick God. Come on, just get up there and get something from God. You think He's going to bless you? He's going to bless you. You just come up, if you're humble and you're seeking Him, He's going to touch you, right? All right. Take authority and accept responsibility. One of the things that really hit me as a young Christian was this, you know, this whole thing about authority, the authority of the believer, and those things are very powerful. But I realized when I began to act on my authority as a believer, you know what I was also doing? I was accepting responsibility. Accepting responsibility. See, I have authority in the name of Jesus. The sickness has to go from my body. I reject it. I resist it in Jesus' name. I've heard some feedback from the prayer teams and prophetic people. We've had numerous healings, right? You believe that? You've heard the testimonies over the last couple months of people that have been healed, the people that have been touched. And there have been some people that haven't been healed yet completely and fully. And I have a strong sense, some of the prayer people have the same sense, that there are some things that are blocking that healing that are over in a different realm, in one of the realm of these curses that we're talking about, that once those things are broken off of your life, that healing will fully manifest. Does that make sense? Does that sound right? Okay. So, God wants us to be healed. So you take authority, you accept responsibility. How do we break them? Then the last thing, I like what we do here in worship virtually every Sunday, except when we have a guest speaker, which means something, because if we're still having communion, I'm not really a guest speaker, am I? Okay, so I'm of this house. All right, my heart is here with you. Pastor Land is my pastor. All right, and so I'm of this house. We renew regularly at the Lord's table. If you get messed up, if you get tangled up, and you're aware of it, it doesn't have to last more than 7 days. When you're coming up for communion, you are celebrating the bread and the body of Christ. The body and the blood of Christ, you are symbolizing, you're celebrating His blood shed for your sins, His body suffering on the cross, taking your curse, taking the abuse for you, the stripes that were placed on His back for your healing, for your restoration, for your every disease, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, every curse that can come on a human being was placed on Him on the cross. I love that song. I never know how much it crossed the sea, my sin upon. Did we sing that first thing? We sung. So we're going to sing it again when we come up for communion. Okay, thank you. When you sing that, do you see it? Do you see it? I want you to start to see it. I want you to visualize it. I want you to, if you can't get a picture, just pop in your mind and say, God, help me paint a picture. What did it look like? Show me what it looked like. Paint a picture the best of your ability, and then take your hands off it and let God show you more. Does that sound fair? Go ahead and create a picture. But when we sing that, I want you to see it. Because your sins and your curses and everything that the world, the flesh, and the devil himself wants to array against you, everything has been solved there at the cross. Everything. Why are we being held back? I'm with you. I'm in the same boat. I'm fighting this battle every day. I'm learning every day. I'm growing every day. But I am pressing on. How about you? Let's press on. Okay? Renew it at the Lord's table. If you let something go during the week, when you get to the Lord's table, have a time with God. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, this is the blood that cleanses my sin. I thank you for this blood, Lord God. I know that thing was sinful. I know this act or that word or whatever. Be aware of that. I'm not talking about being sin conscious where you're always worried about your sins, but I'm saying if something's hanging on and you know it's there, get it cleaned up. Celebrate the body. Celebrate the blood. And renew your freedom at the Lord's table. This church, we're at a place we could just explode with blessing and power and fruitfulness in this community. The things that are invested in here, that again, Pastor Laney identifies those things on a regular basis. There are things that this house knows and walks in regularly. And we can share those things and communicate those things. The world needs what we have. Amen? Amen. All right. So renew it regularly. All right? And this is what we're going to do. Is not the cup of blessing with which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? And this is how we're going to do it. All right? So much for notes, huh? I'm done my message. This is how we're going to minister. I'd like the musicians to come, worship team to come, I'd like the ushers to come and serve communion. And you're going to hold it. We're going to partake together and we're going to speak a blessing to break the curses, strongholds, bondages off your life that are holding you back. And I want to lead you in that. I believe God's asked me to do that. If you accept my leadership in you, even as a stand-in for your pastor. I'm not wanting to become your pastor. I just want to minister something that God's placed on my heart. If you'll accept that as kind of an Aaron blessed the people and brought the blessing of God upon them, we're going to speak that blessing. We're going to partake of communion. And then prayer teams are going to come up and we're going to pray another prayer, breaking off those bondages. If there's anything still hanging on, we want you to come up. We're going to have prayer for you. All right? Sound good? Is everybody clear? Clear as mud, right? All right. Worship team, help us out. Ushers, just start serving as you normally do, and we'll all partake together. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like the root out of parched ground. There was no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised, forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised. We did not esteem him. Surely Our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our peace, for our well-being, for our shalom, fell upon Him. And by His scourging, we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. I want you to stand with me as we hold up the bread. Pray after me. Jesus, thank you for your body. Broken for me. May the curse for me. Wounded with stripes that I deserve. Afflicted with pain and grief that I deserve. But you stood in for me between justice and mercy. You gave me mercy. I thank you for your body, Jesus. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for you, for giving yourself for me. And I partake now with renewed faith and victory in my heart that every bondage, every curse is broken from my life in your holy name. Amen. Let's partake together. Let's hold up the cup. Father God, pray after me.
Father God,
I thank you for the blood of the Lamb.
The blood of Jesus.
Shed for me.
I thank you.
This blood is powerful. Cleansing all my sins. My unworthiness. My insecurity. My discouragement, my weakness, my pain, every area of lack, Lord, you address it in your cross. Thank you for victory. The blood means victory. The blood means freedom. The blood means the grace of God is poured out for me. I thank you for the cross, Jesus. Let's partake together.